Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Action fanatics, welcome to another edition of the Bulletproof Podcast. I am your host, Chris the Brain, and I want to welcome back my co-host. He's been out on assignment. He's back, Chad Cruz. Welcome back.
Thank you, good sir, Mr. Brain. It is lovely to hear your voice once again, but this time just it feels different because you're talking to me. I'm not just listening to you on a podcast episode. That doesn't include me. I'm not just listening to you talk about wrestling as a commentary guy.
Yeah,
I'm listening to you talk directly to me, and it just feels good.
Well, I'm glad I can provide this feel-good moment for you, and we'll see if this man can make our listeners feel good. Oof. He's back as well, Ryan Campbell.
All right, I'm going to try my best. That's all I can promise.
That's all we ever ask here on the Bulletproof Podcast.
It's good to hear your voice as well, Brain.
Thank you.
I like it as well.
I guess some people have to. Before we get into our usual nonsense, we probably should mention the passing of Julian Sands. We actually talked about it, about the situation he was in some time back, before our Blood and Bone podcast, Chad.
Right.
It was not obviously looking good then. It was already a few weeks that he had been missing at that point, and it would have really required a miracle for him to have survived that situation. But the news is now official that we have lost him, and obviously he provided a lot of great movies over the course of his career, one of which we talked about, Blood and Bone.
Yeah, it felt like when we watched Blood and Bone, it was our first dip into the Michael Jai White filmography, but it was also the first film we did with featuring Julian Sands.
Yeah,
and he's a kind of an actor who's been around for a long time, and he's kind of done just a number of roles. It was a really kind of a bizarre incident that led to his death, it sounded like. So, but it is kind of nice, I think, to have that closure that they finally discovered.
I mean, obviously as time and was going on, you pretty much knew what had happened, but the closure is definitely there. And Blood and Bone is actually one of the top 10 podcasts of the first half of the year. We are, can you believe it, guys? We are halfway through 2023 already.
Crazy.
They say the older you get, the quicker time moves. And that is a 100% accurate statement.
I don't think that's accurate. I think it's the same.
The perception of time.
Thank you, Ryan Campbell.
Thank you.
I forgot how literal Chad Cruz could be, because I haven't had the pleasure of working with him the past couple episodes. And we should thank the Toy Man for filling in.
Absolutely.
So we could continue to provide you. And we covered some of your we covered one of your favorite guys last time, Olivier Gruner. I know you were probably sad that you missed out on our Angel Town conversation.
Yeah, I actually haven't listened to that podcast yet, so don't ruin it for me by telling me how terrible Gruner was.
All right. We didn't. Well, you'll find out what we did. But let's talk about the top 10 podcasts for the first half. So this is based on how many times, obviously, they've been listened to. And number 10 is one that we all were a part of, The Meg.
Recent.
Oh, that's a recent one, too.
A more recent one.
So Megalodong.
Megalodong indeed. Really got people listening and maybe telling their friends about Chad Cruz's unique brand of humor. Number 9, another CTB Chad and Ryan episode, our WrestleMania special.
Yes.
Always excellent. Nice when the specials make the list, because we put a lot of work into those.
You know, yeah, tons. You put in a ton of work on that one, Ryan Campbell. Nobody put in more work on that than Chad, I could tell you that.
Yeah, I have equal levels of work on most of these.
Number 8 on the list, Toy Soldiers.
That, it feels like we just talked about that 3 weeks ago.
It feels like 3 months to me. Here's one.
There you go. Perception.
Here's one that we talked about 15 times. Number 7, Surf Ninjas. Absolute worst experience of my life since doing this podcast.
That makes for good podcasts, though.
That's true.
And I want to say this. I hated Rob Schneider before everybody else did. All right. I know he's ruffled some feathers as of late, but it has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with Surf Ninjas. Not his beliefs or his views. Just his performance.
Certainly his body of work.
Yes.
But he's not getting any better in your eyes, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I feel like more people are like, yeah, we hate him too.
That was a tough hill to climb for him.
Yeah, it really was. Number 6, love this movie. Love talking about this movie. Another more recent one, Rapid Fire.
Yes.
Brandon Lee, an absolute classic. Ryan Campbell, have you ever seen Rapid Fire?
I've not, no. I'll have to check that one out.
God, you're awful.
It's one of those... And it's funny because it's become, and it's probably been like this for a while, but it's such a beloved film in the action community that probably every action podcast has done an episode on that movie.
Yeah, I feel like we could do another one and just
maybe. You know what? Let's just start right now. Let's throw a little audible out
maybe
there.
We'll just repeat ourselves. It doesn't matter. Who's going
to
care?
Let's number start asking Ryan, what do you think about it?
What's that?
I need to work on my bona fides. Is that what you're saying?
All right. What I'm saying is number 5, Charles Bronson, 10 to Midnight.
So,
I'm kind of surprised that one's up that high. That's awesome. I'm sure you're glad to see Bronson.
I'm surprised it's not number 1, personally.
There's a lot of nudity in that.
There is. We talked a lot. We had a lot of good dirty talk in that one. Like, my name is Pedro.
Yeah.
That means Peter in Spanish. And I've got the biggest one you've ever seen. All right, number 4. Blood and Bone, we talked about it. Rest in peace, Julian Sands. And, of course, our first Michael Jai White movie. Number 3 on the list, when we covered the premiere episode of the A-Team for its, I believe it was our 40th anniversary of the show. So that's why we covered that earlier this year. Another one. This one, the first one we did this year that we weren't even supposed to do, but it's number 2. Romeo Must Die.
That one had a lot of interesting comments spoken during it. It's you know, a happy accident. Let's call it that.
It was indeed a happy.
It's always funny when it's happy. Yeah, like you said, happy accidents like that turn out to be so high on the list. So that's always fun.
Of course, you never know. It's also had the most time to get people to listen again.
Right.
So some of that, you know, you got to think about the time. You know, that's why some of these newer ones, when they hit, that's pretty impressive. And number 1, and I got no problem with this one, Jean-Claude Van Damme in Lionheart.
Beautiful.
That is what I'm talking about. Just one of the greatest Van Damme movies of them all. And that's one, again, I would talk about that one again right now if we had to.
And, you know, I'm actually staring at a poster, a framed poster of Lionheart as we speak. Just looking at it.
That's right. Chad Cruz in his new studio.
All those striations. Yeah. Speaking of the studio, the freedom of having the studio, the noise in the background of the air conditioning unit. And, you know, I could say anything I want down here. I don't have to worry about my kids hearing it. I could talk about, pussies and assholes and whatever I want. You know, I have so much freedom. You know what I mean? And this is a time for freedom, Brain.
It is
a time when we celebrate freedom.
You need to take a month off more often. You are coming in hot today with this, because that is a great segue, because this is our 4th of July spectacular here on the Bulletproof Podcast. And what better movie to talk about than 1990s Captain America? He was born on the 4th of July, Chad Cruz.
I don't know if that's true, but fucking A right, he was.
If he wasn't before, he is now.
I'm pretty sure I don't know about it in this movie, but
Captain Goddamn America.
That's neither here nor there. We're talking Captain America, not the Marvel Cinematic Universe Captain. We're talking about the 1990 Captain America directed by Albert Pune. That one was actually number 4 back in 2020 when we did the Ultimate Albert Pune Countdown, Chad Cruz.
It's definitely, you know, you either love it or you hate it.
And we might have a little bit of both on this episode based on some of the things I heard before we hit record. This one also from the 21st Century Film Corporation, which of course was the company that Menachem Golan started after he left Canon. So Menachem Golan produced this film. So that alone gives it bonus points in my book. But let's get this thing started. It starts off, we see a family. We're back in the 30s, I believe. And there's a family enjoying some piano music, because that's what you did back then. You didn't have podcasts to listen to. You couldn't go down to your basement and talk about pussies and assholes. You had to sit there and listen to somebody in your family play the fucking piano. Right, Chad Cruz?
Hell yeah, dude. I love a good fucking piano playing moment. Like, here's the thing, right? I knew a guy years ago.
Okay.
We're working together. And we just so happened to be walking through this room, and there was a piano sitting there. And he's like, hey, I used to play the piano really well. And I was like, go pound the keys a bit for me, won't you?
Tickle the ivories.
Tickle the ivories a bit. And he's probably in his 50s, balding. Pretty
pudgy. I was going to ask you if this was Jesse Emerson, but that's not.
No. He goes over there, and he just plays the most marvelous song I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And I could have kissed him right there on the mouth.
Wow. Wow. Music is a powerful weapon against Chad.
Aphrodisiac.
Bruce. Yeah. But who of all people just disrupts this freaking beautiful piano recital? But the Nazis. These damn Nazis show up. They take this boy pianist and forcibly take him from his family. And then, and why do they take him? Because he is like super intelligent. He has superior intelligence. And then they gun down his family. This is not how they anticipated this piano recital ending, Chad Cruz.
No, it's a real shame. You know, I'm not exactly sure that they were Nazis, Brain. I'm sorry. I think they were just kind of fascist Italians, but
they were in cahoots.
There's a swastika Nazis later on in the movie we see.
Well, no, the Nazis.
Yeah, that's true. At the Mussolini, those guys did not have the swastika.
Yeah,
that's
Mussolini true. was an ally of Adolf Hitler. But
thank you.
But yes, future. It's a real shame, right? What a beautiful song that was being played, and what a terrible time. It's always a bad time to break up a family with machine gun fire, but yes. It's an absolutely awful time to do it when someone's really rocking out on a piano, especially when they're a little kid. And it's a tough start. It's a tough start.
Yeah. For I mean, that kid's pretty much guaranteed, even if they don't do what they're about to do to him, he was going to be screwed up one way or the other after a traumatic situation like that.
He might not play the piano ever again.
No, he might not. And so they take this young boy to Fort Lorenzo. And Ryan Campbell, we see quite an interesting situation with a rat in a cage. And despite all your rage, I'd like you to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. So, you can probably anticipate where we're going with this when it comes to Captain America. But they're experimenting with a super soldier serum, and now these rats are twice as strong, twice as intelligent. So logically, the next step after rat is to just try it on a small child. That's how most, most research projects tend to take that route.
Yeah.
How do you know if a rat is twice as intelligent as he was before?
He gets through the maze twice as fast.
The speed is.
I have to imagine that's part of it.
Yeah.
But how do we know he didn't just memorize the maze? I don't know.
It's true. Well,
if he mazes are the maze, he's pretty smart then.
His memory is good. I mean, maybe twice as good a memory.
Well, not everyone thinks this is a good idea.
I wonder why.
Most notably, female scientist Dr. Vaselli. She's against it. She tries to stop it. They're like, shut her up. She takes off. They're shooting at her. She goes for it, though. She just dives out the window. She's gone. She's done.
I got my notes here that she was Italian Helen Mirren.
Oh, all right.
That looks.
She looked a lot like her. And when I first thought, I'm like, is that Helen Mirren? Like a young? I don't know.
Helen Mirren, when she was young, gorgeous.
Oh, here we go.
By the way,
why don't you talk gorgeous. About? Was it Excalibur she was
Excalibur,
in?
Some boobies action.
There you go. I knew that was
good. Yeah, Reddit's good for that with their like old school cool like one. They're always showing like old actors or actresses that were like super hot back in the day.
Chad Cruz is currently signing up for Reddit. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That was Chad Cruz typing.
Yes.
Theater of the Mind. 7 years later, it's 1943. The president has a file about this Project Rebirth. And he's, you know, Hitler's got this super soldier. We need one too. And boy, do we've got the perfect candidate. He's got polio and he lives in California. His name is Steve Rogers. What do you think of this Steve Rogers, Chad Cruz?
Well, at the time, as a small boy myself, I developed quite the obsession with this movie. I love the character of Captain America. I love the character of Steve Rogers in the comic books. I love the concept of beating the shit out of Nazis and the heroic nature of the character and the kind of self-sacrifice, that whole thing. So when I saw the movie, I don't remember watching it for the first time, but I remember watching it the 30th, 40th, 50th time and renting it at the local rental shop that only one rental shop in my town had it. So I had to go to the furthest one away from me to rent it. So I really wanted it. And I remember not being absolutely like floored about this guy, about Matt Salinger. I just thought he lacked some of that muscle definition that I was, as a wrestling fan, I kind of expected there to be like a beefcake out there, and he's kind of a string bean, but you know what?
He's supposed to be at this point.
Yeah. So far, so good. He's not awful, right? He's not the worst thing in the world.
And he definitely has the look like face wise and everything, but yeah, they didn't play up. This is a funny sentence to say. They didn't play up the polio enough in the opening shot there. Like,
He's lucky.
I don't know what access they had to make up and things like that to try to make it look a little better, but I think they could have made him look a little more sickly or thin or whatever. But yeah, he just kind of the way that they've shot him in his wardrobe throughout the entire film, it just looks like he's kind of the same throughout the entire process. It doesn't look much other than when he has like a limp in the early scenes, not much changes after the transformation coming up in a few minutes.
He's got the limp. And I just want to put it on record that Chad Cruz said he wanted Brutus Beefcake to play Captain America.
He's got a lot of character. He's played like 50 characters in the past, so he could probably do it.
Your favorite was the Booty Man. Going booty away man, party baby. at the Rogers house. Steve saying goodbye to his mom, who is the A Christmas Story's mom, and also from Close Encounters, I believe.
Christmas Story dad is in this as well.
He sure is, but not in a dad-like role. Mom gives, speaking of dad, though, Steve's mom gives him his dad's medal, I guess for good luck, although it didn't really seem to serve the dad well, but he's got the medal. But you know, let's take a group photo before you go. But Chad, his girl isn't there. Bernie.
Yeah, Bernie.
Where's Bernie?
Bernie's his gal, you know. It really is kind of strange, right? So, you know, we kind of empathize a bit here with Steve Rogers. And we don't get a ton of time with him as a character. It's still early in the film, obviously, but boom, we're introduced to this guy. He's going to be the new Captain America candidate. Here he is. Okay, he's limping. There's obviously something going on there. And then they talk about his polio and he's leaving his family. His father died in the war. Here's his medal. But he's got this girlfriend who's pretty cute, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm down. If she is what I'm saying.
Oh, so consent's important. I appreciate that.
Thank you. So, I mean, yeah, it's a sad time. He is kind of leaving the people that he loves. But he also had it pretty good at this point.
My concern though is your boy is heading out for this like really risky project. And she's at the beach watching Beefcakes surf off the pier. Like, what's going on there? Why is she, you know, just off on her own, not at the party in the first place?
I think she emotionally, she was just, you know, she's devastated, Ryan. She's about to lose the man that she loves, and she's going to wait for him forever. She tells us that, remember? I believe her.
They're going to put that to the test here in a little bit.
You know what? I just realized that July 4th, 1990 was not really a good day for Brutus the Barber Beefcake. But let's move on.
Is that when he got hit in the face?
Yes, that was his parasailing accident.
Dang, that was July 4th?
Yes.
That's fucked up.
Yep. just, you know, I'm here to throw out some wrestling trivia from time to time. Yeah, so she's there. She'll wait for him. Dr. Fuseli is the one who comes to pick up Steve. She defected. She's part of the old, good old US of A, and she had all that knowledge that she got from that lab, Chad Cruz.
Yeah, a lot of knowledge. You know what? So I'm also thinking about this. They used a kid, Red Skull, right? He's a kid.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's going to be twice as strong. Like twice as strong as a 10-year-old. What, like a 15-year-old? Like, come on.
Yeah, I thought that too. Like, why not start with someone who's already strong and make them twice as strong? Like, why did they get like, let's try it on a guy with polio.
Let's try it on Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
It could have helped him. So yeah, 1 week later, you know, Steve admits, you know, he's scared. You know, who knows what's going to happen? But at the same time, he probably feels like with the polio, like, you know, this could change his life for the better if it works. So
are you allowed to smoke when you have polio? I noticed that this Captain America smokes.
Who's going to stop you in 19?
I love the fact that he smokes. Because he's like literally about, his whole body's about to be injected with shit, you know?
Yeah, in 1943, they probably thought smoking was great for you.
I think the 10-year-old was smoking.
This will help carry your polio.
Exactly. Exactly. They didn't know.
Don't forget to use this lead paint.
Right. And asbestos tiles. Do it all. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. All right. So now we're 1 week later. There's this secret lab under a diner. We see Flint. I guess it was a Major or Lieutenant Fleming. I don't know. It's Bill Mumy, who was in Lost in Space. He arrives. He has a guest, just some random guest. He's there as an invite by the president himself. They're there to see this experiment. They're there to see the birth of Captain America. Now, only Colonel Lewis and Dr. Vaselli know who Captain America really is, and that's obvious there to protect his family. And they strap Steve into the gimmick. They flip the switch. We kind of see muscles growing, and it's not... you know, again, this is not a big budget film, Chad Cruz.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the most impressive, you know, cut shots I've ever seen of someone getting like instantly stronger. But, you know, they could have probably used some more like flashings of lights and I don't know, like they had the sparks and everything going. They could have probably cut together a better scene of him getting buff. But what can you do?
Of my issues with this movie. That actually really the first act I thought was super strong.
He's super strong now.
Wasn't really one of my concerns. I understood, you know, I'd be interested in seeing what the budget of the film was because what they had to work with made it look like it was extremely low. But this particular scene, I didn't think, you know, I didn't have really many issues with the way that change. Obviously, you know, that they're going to keep the same actor for the pre and post. There's only so much they can do unless they just shot scenes, let him bulk up for 6 months, and then film the rest of the movie.
Now, what if after they'd given him a serum and we see his muscles grow and they're like, all right, get down on this bench and show us how much you could bench now. And he like benches like 280. And they're like, oh, wait, hold on a second. You could bench 140 pounds before this. And he's like, sorry, dude. And they're like, son of a bitch, we just wasted this green shit on this guy.
It's not a direct correlation from rats to humans. You know, maybe it's like more, I don't know. But we do get a Superman name drop in a Marvel movie. That's always interesting when they name drop Superman in a Marvel film. We get that a little bit earlier.
Well, when you're the best of the business,
it's true.
You get talked about. You know, it's kind of like certain wrestling companies that can't keep a certain other company's name out of their mouth. So $3 million was the estimated budget. By the way, Ryan Campbell.
That's probably how much.
I would argue half of it got spent in this first act.
It's very possible.
Between like the scenes coming up and like Because, like, once we move to the second act, it doesn't look like much has spent at all in the movie.
Well, they probably ran out. You know, $3 million, maybe what the final budget was, but maybe when they go, you know, that was the problem with Superman.
Does that include marketing too? Because that
right. Well, Superman 4 had a certain budget when they started, but as they progressed, it kept getting cut. And
Captain America actually went back for reshoots too. So I don't know if that's included in this. I don't know.
Yeah. So Steve does survive the process, but now we find out that the guest with Fleming is actually a Nazi spy, and he shoots and kills Dr. Vasselli. He shoots Captain America, but you know that might land him in the hospital. But you're not going to kill Captain America with just some bullets. Not this new super soldier.
I do appreciate Long for the Days in cinema where just backing up into like some equipment was instant death. And it's not just in this movie. It's just, if you backed up into a large piece of like machinery with dials on it, you were certainly going to die from an explosion of sparks.
Right.
Double Impact, right. Bolo Young. Check it out. Now they've got intel that says the Nazis have an experimental rocket and it's going to be heading towards the USA. They don't know exactly where, but it's happening very, very soon. So, you know, Captain America doesn't have long to recuperate from the shooting. And he's like, he realizes that, Chad, and he gets right the hell out of bed and he's ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, this would have been good information before his like party where he was just kind of hanging around smoking cigarettes and stuff. You know what I mean? Like if you had told me it was in 7 days, a rocket's going to come blow up the country. Maybe I would have got on a plane then. I don't know.
Not just that. This rocket could kill literally thousands. I thought that was kind of interesting. They're like, they're going to launch a nuke at us and it will kill thousands of people. Like, of course, that's bad, but
this is pre-nuclear, Ryan.
I would have thought, you know, tens of thousands. I don't know. It just didn't seem like I would expect a higher number.
I mean, 999 is 1,000. 999,000? That's a lot of people, Ryan Campbell.
You would usually say hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands. They're just like thousands of people.
They didn't say it that way.
It's plural. It is multiple thousands.
Exactly. Colonel Lewis accompanies Cap on the plane and kind of is like, it seems like the initial plan was going to be, there was going to be a whole army of Captain Americas.
Yeah.
But since Dr. Vasselli died, all the knowledge died with her. So
yeah, she wasn't big on taking notes.
No, she mental notes.
And let's just talk real quick about how messed up this whole situation is, right?
Okay.
You got an army of volunteers who volunteered to fight in this war, including Colonel Lewis and his mustache. And any one of these men could have volunteered for the Project Rebirth and said, you know what? I can do this. I'm already somewhat strong by 1930 standards. Go ahead and give me the dosage and I'll go over there and kick Adolf Hitler's fucking teeth in. But instead, they're like, you know what? Let's find some weakling loser. Wait a week for him to have a party and get one last little, you know, pork session in with his girlfriend. Bring him in here. We'll give him the thing. We'll hope that it works and that he has any ability whatsoever to fight because we literally pulled this guy off the street. And you know what? Maybe later we'll get somebody else who's not such a little bitch. But wait a second. We only have a few days because the whole fucking country is going to get blown up. Ah, whatever. We'll still use the idiot. Let's get the idiot in here. Someone call that guy.
Yeah, I have to assume that they probably never even planned for him to actually go into service. Like, he was literally just a guinea pig. If it would have worked on a human, then they probably would have then given it to actual, you know, soldiers and stuff like that. But they weren't going to waste resources and maybe lose a perfectly good soldier when you've got this guy with polio over here that's totally willing to be a guinea pig. So, but yeah, the sheer timing of how much time they gave themselves to launch this mission.
Yeah,
it's not, doesn't seem like it was the best plan.
It seems like a Chad Cruz plan to me. Honestly.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and wait to the last possible second to do something.
And then, yes. And then give it to someone with polio. That's totally
right. Yeah.
But have either of you read the Captain America series? I think it's called Truth.
I don't know how to read. Go on.
Have you read Truth? Anyone?
No.
I think it was, I don't know. It was like six issues or something like that, but it was about the, how they tested this on African-American soldiers before. So Steve Rogers actually wasn't the first in the series, and that's canon.
It's in the Falcon and the Winter Soldier show.
Is it? There you go. I have not watched that show. So that's fantastic. 21st
century film, not canon. Thank you.
Da-dunce.
That's so funny. You should go on tour with that routine.
It's close.
It's great stuff. Well, that's very interesting, Chad Cruz. I apologize.
Highly recommend it.
For interrupting you. So, you know, Steve finds this out, but all right, I guess I'm the one. He makes the jump. He lands almost as instantly spotted by the Nazis. Despite his lack of practice, he ends up being pretty damn good with that shield, Chad Cruz.
Yeah, I think they said at one point that he threw discus in high school.
Oh.
Like, I missed
like
that.
Like no,
I made that up.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, Carrie Von Erich.
I mean, they do give exposition in this movie in a weird way, where like people just literally talk over things. They're showing like the one where they showed the newspaper clippings or something like that, or someone's just in the background like, "Hey, can you believe this guy? He now is running for senator, and things are going great." Like stuff like that. They cut. Yeah. So I wouldn't put it past them to be like, "Hey, did you see Steve? He threw discus in high school."
Well, now that you mention it, I would like to rebook something real quick, Brian.
Go for it.
So I do love that how they do this little newspaper clipping. Let's flash through time real quickly and give you a little bit of narration. And they could have done that with giving Captain America a few missions under his belt. You know what I mean? Why does it have to be we only have a few days?
Yeah.
Why couldn't they just say, we need you over there right now, goddammit. The war effort's not going well. We need a man over there to do something. Like they didn't have to jump straight to, oh God, we're all going to blow up. Like let it simmer a bit, give him a few missions, and then you could have done the whole newspaper gimmick. You wouldn't have had to film any scenes. You just have pictures of him fucking punching people, kicking dudes in the balls, like whatever.
Exactly.
Stepping a shield.
Definitely touched on one of my big issues with the movie. It was to skip ahead a little bit, but they speed so quickly through the first act. And then the middle is such a slog. Like they could have totally extended and like we've been saying, given us more time with him prior to see why he's worthy of this, or shown, you know, like you were saying, just give Captain America some, you know, easy pushovers, let him get some squash matches in, build him up before we send him off. And
right.
I feel like they could have totally stretched the first act of the movie and cut down the slog that's the second, but some of that could have been budget as well. Maybe they didn't have the budget to shoot a bunch of even just quick scenes of him in different locations punching Nazis, but not enough of him punching Nazis in this movie.
So there is a director's cut out there of this. Brain, did you know about this?
Possibly.
God, you're an idiot. So apparently Albert Pune, back when, whenever the other Captain America came out, I'm going to call it a remake, Chris Evans version came out. Albert Pune went on like a little tour to show his version, which was a director's cut. It had like an extra, I don't know, 12, 15 minutes or something like that in this film. And apparently it's mostly character work about Steve Rogers and how, you know, him kind of coming to the realization that putting on the suit didn't make him a hero, you know, taking the serum didn't make him a hero. He was already a hero. He just had to believe in himself and fight for what he believed in and yada, yada, yada. So that it may be there. I don't know if it exists in the way
we
would like it, but yeah.
It would be, I mean, it'd be interesting to read that, because that's another thing they kind of touched on in the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, is like they have this serum. Why has it never worked with anybody else? And part of it is because Steve isn't just the serum, you know, on a person. It's
right.
It amplifies everything you are. So him, you know, being the true hero and being a good person and all that just gets amplified times, you know, 100. So that's why they haven't been able to duplicate it or have anybody else to work with other than Steve. So that would have been, I would like to have seen that. I guess it's just part of, at the time, they just, you know, I don't know if people were really into character work in their superhero movies or whatever existed for them in the early 90s, but my guess would be they were just like, no, we got to get right to him, you know, in the suit doing things.
I would hate to amplify myself by 10 times.
Yeah. Agree. Oh. Can I take us off track for a moment?
That's not possible. Were we on a track?
No, you had mentioned the discus and I in Kerry Von Erich, and it all kind of loops back in because when Brutus Beefcake had his parasailing accident, he was scheduled to face Mr. Perfect for the Intercontinental title at SummerSlam 90. But then, obviously, he couldn't do it, so the replacement was the Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich.
Holy shit.
Who went on to defeat Mr. Perfect in a bullshit match. But Mr. Perfect got it back because he had a great manager. All right, so Steve, Captain America, he's there on his first mission, but Red Skull was expecting him. When he gets inside, he sees the rocket, he sees Red Skull, throws the shield because that had been quite effective getting into the place. But not as effective against the great Red Skull, who is also a super soldier. He catches it, and we're getting this already. It's an early one, Red Skull versus Cap. But this does not go very well for Captain America. He gets strapped to the rocket, and there, now he finds out, all right, this is going to be a gift for President Roosevelt. So this rocket's headed to the White House. But some quick thinking by our boy, Captain America, Chad Cruz.
Yeah, you know, President Roosevelt also suffered from polio. And unlike President Roosevelt, Captain America has now twice the strength. So he's able to kick the fucking Hishamahu thing on the rocket. The fender, what is that called?
Well, first he grabs. He's going to, like, take Red Skull out of the eye. But Red Skull just fucking chops his own hand off.
And you know what? I always thought forever, for the last 30 years, however long this movie's been out, that he cut his own hand off because he's an idiot. I was like, why didn't he just cut his hand off?
Right.
In the movie, he tried to. I never noticed that, Ryan.
Cap pulls him in right as it's coming through.
I never saw that. The dozens and dozens of times, thousands of times I've watched this.
Isn't that something?
I always questioned the forethought of the commanders and generals, but if they knew the Red Skull also had the super soldier serum and had been operating and been raised by the Nazis for the past, I don't know, what, 20 years or whatever it is, you're essentially sending in Cap, who was 2 days ago a man with polio, on an equal playing field with, like, a trained soldier. So, like... Yeah. There was no scenario where he was going to come in there and a 1v1 beat Red Skull.
Right. And you know, Red Skull, did it say how old he was when they took him?
I mean, he looked about eight or nine, I assume. Yeah.
So it's only been 7 years. So this son of a bitch is only 16 years old.
We should have counted the rings when his hand chopped off.
He could have. I don't think it works that way.
But that's still like 7 years of training, like with the serum, and you're sending
this is a guy who got recruited to the high school wrestling team has to fight Brock Lesnar.
Oh, snap.
In his first match. It's not good. It's not
But Brock Lesnar's not a 16-year-old.
It doesn't matter.
I'm just assure you at 16, Brock Lesnar was probably still.
That's true. He was a monster.
So if I was
in a prison cell with Brock, a 16-year-old Brock Lesnar, I'd have a sore butthole.
This basement was a terrible idea.
What, due to his cooking? What's he making in there? What's going on?
Oh, he's making fudge pie.
That prison line is
fudge pie. You see, folks, this is what we've been missing out on the past two episodes is Chad Cruz, and now it's like Chad Cruz uncensored. So. Good luck to us all. I'll definitely have to make sure I hit the explicit button when I upload it. So now this rocket goes off because Captain America is no longer holding on to Red Skull because he's just holding on to Red Skull's hand.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. And young Tom Kimball is visiting Washington, D.C. with his senator father and his mom. And he's got big dreams. He wants to be president someday. And he really wants to go see that freaking White House. And he doesn't care if it's the middle of the night. He wants to go.
That is dangerous.
Like, get to bed. And we'll see it tomorrow. Oh, okay, yeah. But so Tom sneaks out, visits. He's got his camera. He's taking pictures. And at that exact moment, here comes the rocket barreling towards the White House. And now, Chad, what you had mentioned earlier, Captain America has the strength to kick this thing off course.
Yeah.
but why didn't he have the strength to like break the things that were strapping him in?
It probably has to do with leverage.
Oh yeah, leverage.
It was adamantium. We're gonna say it was adamantium.
There you go. That could be it.
We'll say that.
No, what's the Wakandan one?
Or a vibranium.
Vibranium, yeah. That his shield was made of vibranium, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe they made the cuffs of vibranium.
Could be.
I just like the idea that they put so much fuel on board with that rocket that it could go an extra, I don't know, 3,000 miles to Alaska after missing the White House.
Yeah. Good point.
I think it was kind of a part of that. I got caught into like a northerly wind.
There you go.
If you pause during the newspaper clipping thing, there's an article about it, I think.
Yeah. There's something in there about a weather El Nino section that came up through the Washington, D.C. area.
It may have been an Alberta clipper that sent it right up there. I don't know. So, yeah, The Rock, he does it. But as he's going, Tom snaps the picture. The rocket ends up heading north. We do eventually find out. We just know it lands somewhere in the snow, and he becomes an ice cube, basically. So now we see young Tom talking to his BFF Sam and tells him this fantastic story. Fortunately, he does have that picture, so that helps, you know, make like I believe you. I'm seeing it right here, what you're saying. It's not some bullshit story like Chad Cruz would tell you. This is a real story. And they're like, who is this guy? He wasn't the Submariner. He's not the Human Torch. Who is he? We don't know. And it kind of ends there. And now we get what you were talking about, the newspaper headlines, which I think that first bit of music was like, could have been Sid Vicious's first theme in WCW.
That's frightening.
Just generic production music that WCW would use. So there's that. And we kind of, in these newspaper headlines, we find out Tom Kimble, he fulfills his dream, Chad Cruz. He becomes president of the United States.
Wow. That's really thrilling stuff.
How often does that happen?
A kid wants to be president and becomes president, or just anyone becomes president?
The kid who that was what he's knew he wanted to do it when he was that young and was freaking obsessed with the White House that young. And that's what happens to him.
I don't know. It's kind of one of those positions where we almost shouldn't want someone in there that's dreamt about it since they were a kid.
I agree. You couldn't pay me enough money to be president. There's not enough money.
Old Tomboy had to try some shady shit through those years to get in that position.
Possibly. Well, we get the news report and we see grown-up President Kimball, who is played by the one and only Ronnie Cox.
Who's never a good guy.
He is here. He's a good guy in Beverly Hills Cop. In Beverly Hills Cop, he's a good guy.
I guess that's right.
He is equal good and bad. That's why it's always interesting. You don't know what you're going to get. Of course, when he's bad, he's better. Wouldn't you say, Dick Jones? Mm-hmm.
It's a good one.
What was his name in Total Recall?
I don't remember.
Oh, man.
Bad guy.
CEO bad guy.
Yeah.
I looked it up on IMDb.
Excellent. They're always right. Ronnie, so the president is going to be heading to Rome for a summit about environmental issues and plastics and pesticides and the usual. So Fleming is still around, but he's a general now, and he is Darren McGavin, who, of course, is a Christmas Story dad, also from Raw Deal with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's kind of – is he, like, in the cabinet, would you think, Chad? Is he, like, the
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of those guys. But, I mean, he would have had, 50 years in service at this point?
Yeah.
That's an obscene amount of time. It would never happen. But go on.
Okay, well, it doesn't – you know, he's doing something. Ryan alluded to maybe Kimball having to do some shady shit, but this man is definitely doing some shady shit because the next time we see him, he's at Fortress Lorenzo with Red Skull, who had some plastic surgery, so he has like a normal skin tone now, somewhat normal, and using his real name, DeSantis. They're all sitting around and they're like, okay, we got to get rid of this freaking Kimball guy. And Fleming just wants to straight up kill him, but they've done that in the past and just made like heroes out of people like Martin Luther King and JFK. So Red Skull has the bright idea to put a brain implant in him instead, which then they could make him do and say whatever they want him to.
Interesting. I like the idea that we have Captain America punching fascist named DeSantis. That's pretty timely, you know. Oh, it's that.
I never caught that.
Very good, Ryan Campbell. Current events. Fleming, oh yeah. So meanwhile in Alaska, some surveyors, and the main one was played by Norbert Weiser, who is an Albert Pune favorite and pops up in a lot of his films. They find Captain America in the block of ice. They really don't know what they found. They see a hand. They bring this giant ice block of ice to their camp. It thaws out.
Oh, it definitely gave off some of the Thane vibes. Like, I don't know if they were going for that or not.
It did. Cap is back, baby. Norbert snaps a picture. That picture makes the papers all over the world. And our president sees it, and boy, he pulls out his wallet because he's been keeping that Captain America picture with him all this time, Chad Cruz. Does that impress you?
That's pretty impressive, you know, guys.
Is that more impressive than this young boy's dream coming true?
I don't know. The picture could last. If it were the same wallet from when he was a kid, now I'd be impressed. Yeah. Because one of the biggest flexes I have is I've had the same wallet since the year 2000.
Wow.
Ooh, with like the plastic inserts for pictures and everything. No,
I was ahead of my time back then. I have like the money clip, the money clip wallet that, you know, where you can put cards on the outside and money on the inside. Uh-huh. So it was a pretty badass wallet back in 2000. Now it's just, there's some tape holding it together. I'm not going to lie.
I had a cool.
It's hard to pass. It's hard to get rid of it.
I had a cool. I don't know. Cool. But I had a Velcro Michael Jackson wallet.
In the 80s.
And then I think I upgraded to a body glove wallet, which was also Velcro.
Oh, man.
And probably neon colors, I'm assuming.
It was bright yellow.
Yeah.
It was nice.
You don't have it anymore?
No, I don't have it.
Damn. Anymore.
I wish I did, though. It would say I got it from Michael Dudikoff.
Fuck yeah.
American Ninja 2.
Remember when he was content to wear the full-on body glove suit?
Yeah.
And Steve James was like, not a chance.
Was practically wanted to be nude, if you'd allow it.
Not a chance.
Yeah. Steve James worked hard for that physique, and he was going to show it off one way or another. So, this picture, and, you know, he's very excited. He calls Sam, and Sam, whoa, what an all-star Sam. Ned Beatty is now a real newspaper reporter, not just working for the school paper like he did when he was a kid. There's another kid who knew what the frick he wanted to do way back then and did it.
And still keeps that pencil in his glasses all these years later.
Indeed.
That's how you know it's the same person. That's some visual storytelling.
Well, he's good. What? They found him in Alaska? Well, that's where the hell Sam's going. Meanwhile, in Rome, Red Skull is getting his plan ready to kidnap the president and sends his daughter. Jack Cruz, I'm sure you have something to say about this.
Well, I will say that the Red Skull appears to surround himself with lovely women. He's got a crew of...
Not exactly capable women, but lovely.
Not exactly capable. Well, we don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe the other 20 times they succeeded. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just that Captain America is so good at running away from gunfire. But yeah, he sends his daughter, Valentia. Is that right?
I believe so.
Who knows? Who cares? He sends his daughter Val and her stupid friends. Sounds very Italian.
Valentia.
But yeah, they get to Alaska or Northern Canada, wherever it was, about as quickly as Sam does, super fast.
Yeah, and they've got a helicopter and then dirt bikes late in a bit. And Sam is just drove there. I would
not hope a helicopter that delivers furniture though.
I would no, that's a different movie. I would hope he took a flight and then rented that truck.
Well, he worked for is it Washington Post or New York Post or something? So he's at least, he wasn't working in Atlanta. You know what I mean? He was like not super far away from
Hotlanta out here taking strays.
No, I mean, like, there's farther south. That's what I meant by that.
Oh, gotcha.
I also don't like the city of Atlanta, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all right. Yeah, the bad guys, they get on these dirt bikes. They're chasing Cap through the wilderness. Valentina, she manages to shoot Captain America. Sam is there just in time to pick him up, and Captain America doesn't really have much choice, so he just hops in this with this guy that he does not know, who tells him all sorts of crazy things, like, I was sent by the president. The Red Skull is still alive, and he's using his original name. And I think he killed all these high-profile people that you have never heard of because you've been in ICE for the past many decades. So then he asks about, hey, where's Dr. Vasselli's files? And then Cap pulls just a classic trick on him, Chad Cruz.
Just a classic. Yeah, he does the old pull over, I'm going to be sick. And then, like an idiot, Sam gets out of the vehicle and he goes to check on him.
Yeah, like a caring human being.
So stupid.
I'll teach you.
Why would he do that? He should just pull his cell phone out and start scrolling Twitter.
Or taking a video of Captain America puking. That would go viral in a second.
A TikTok of this loser puking in a costume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But none of that can happen, obviously.
Captain America was not really sick. He's like, ha ha. And then he goes and gets in the truck, and Sam's just stranded in Northern Canada. Probably real cold.
Oh, yeah. He should have popped the middle finger out of the window as he was driving away.
Yeah. Or Sam should have as he drove away. Or both, really.
It's a good thing he wasn't killed by the Nazis.
Or like a bear.
Or a bear.
Oh, wow.
Or a Nazi bear.
Oh, God. Don't bring that up.
Yeah, or a cocaine.
That might be their next experiment.
Our cocaine Nazi bear.
Oh, shit. Well, as you might imagine, like a movie. Unlike that rocket, the truck does run out of gas. So Cap gets to a truck stop. He stows away on a semi that's delivering Molson to California. Hmm. I don't know how he knew it was heading to California. Perhaps he saw some sort of paperwork. Maybe the truck had California plates, so he figured if sooner or later it'd have to go back to its point of origin.
He might have seen their itinerary.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
I will say this, though. As Cap's sitting in the truck with Sam, and Sam's telling him all this stuff and just kind of like, blah, like fire hosing him with all this information, he's looking down. He sees the made in Japan something or other, and then he sees another thing made in Germany, the Volkswagen truck that he's in. So he's like, oh, God, Germany. Japan, those were my enemies, because he doesn't know it's 1990.
Right,
he just knows that he's fucking got a crazy, like,
the axis of evil.
He's got like a terrible, like, crick in his back from sleeping weird.
Yeah,
and he's got to piss real bad because he's been asleep for so long. Like, he doesn't know anything.
He don't know shit from Shinola. You got that right. So he gets to California. It's a much different place. The bathing suits, for one, are the swimwear is much more revealing, Chad Cruz.
Yeah, that was nice.
Okay. He's going to go to Bernie's house, because remember, Bernie said she was going to wait for his ass for as long as it took.
He's trying to get one of those.
So he gets there and he sees her daughter, Sharon, and thinks, oh, Bernie, look at you.
I'm going to upgrade to the newer model.
With blonde hair. I like that look. But then he sees the real Bernie up on the front porch. And also, like, she was not frozen in ice. She aged, gracefully as could be. And she ended up with a husband named Jack. And they come out because they hear
Sharon. She kind of scrambles to, like, hide Jack.
Yeah, she does.
Jack starts coming to the door, and she's like, get back in there. What are you doing?
Yeah,
well, he was coming out to deliver an ass-whooping.
Yeah, because, like, he heard Sharon scream for help.
I love Jack.
That would have been hilarious. Cap goes like, get back in the house, old man.
Yeah, I have twice the strength of a man
between me and Bernie. And new hot Bernie.
Yes.
Yeah, he wanted to spend a weekend at Bernie's, I think. But Bernie can't believe it is real. That, like, what? But at the same time, part of her always knew Steve was alive.
Well, I guess not a big part, because she got remarried or got married.
Well, that part, there's a part of her that needed some filling. That's why she kept the house, though, because, like, I better stay at this house, because if he does come back, this is where he knows I live.
He's going to be horny.
And he might be real horny, and I probably will be too. So, you knew what it was. But yeah, she says, you know, Jack's a good man, a good father. She waited 16 years, which apparently is forever.
It's a long time, though.
Yeah, it is a long time. But yeah, she was getting to that point where if she wanted to have kids, it needed to happen.
Yeah.
And obviously it happened. And Jack, he sealed the deal. Good for you, Jack.
He should have, like, winked at him.
Jack,
like,
has to hear all the time about this mystery other guy.
Right.
He could just never live up to, but she did want some kids. So here you go, Jack. I need
Jack's you. Jack's like, oh, you mean that pussy with polio? Yeah, I remember him.
Who ran out on you? Who got real strong and then ran out on you? Yeah.
He probably fell out of the plane and died. Yeah, I remember him.
Jack. Yeah. Well, Valentia may not have gotten a cap, but somehow she planted a bug that, I mean, there's no, like, shouldn't they be sweeping for listening devices at all times?
Well, let's talk about this real quick.
I mean, especially post-Nixon.
We do know that they have an inside man, the general.
That's true, too. That is true, too.
Let's not forget that cocksucking general probably planted a bug of some kind. And
E for explicit. All right. Yeah, so they're hearing all of Sam's calls with the president. I like that Sam, like, has a direct line to the president. That's a good friend. Like, you would think the president might be on another call, but not when Sam calls. Right through. Red Skull not happy that his daughter failed him.
What do you mean I sent you to tackle a super soldier and you couldn't get the job done?
Yeah, the fact that she just even found him should have been, like, a major accomplishment. But I'm not Red Skull. Sam is going through the top secret Project Rebirth files, which, this is another place where it pays to know the president, I suppose. It finds out Captain America's true identity and thinks, like, if I'm Captain America and I've been frozen and all this crap, where would I go? I'd go home, and that's Redondo Beach. So that's where he's going to go. But of course, the bad guys are listening, so that's where they're going to go too. But before that, Captain America apparently has a set of time life, history of America or something, tapes he's watching to catch up on everything, because we don't have the internet. Now, if they made it, it would be the internet. What was it in the new one? Did they ever catch him up? They had to. I don't remember. Ryan Campbell, tell me.
Well, and we see it in the second one that he has a notebook of things people have told him to look up.
Okay, there you go.
And he's like not. He's as he's talking to people, he just keeps noting things in the book that he needs to look up. But from a, like, world events perspective, we don't really ever see, like, you know, if they sit him down and just give him Google for, like, a weekend.
We probably assume that's what he did.
If he were asking me, he's like, "What should I look up?" I'd be like, "Two girls, one cup."
All right.
It tells you all you need to know about where society's at right now.
Yeah, and he would write it down, and he'd be like, "I can't wait to see this."
I would tell him to watch SummerSlam 90.
That's a good one.
It is. Feel the heat. All right, so he's watching, he's watching the tapes, realizes, oh shit, that's Sand Guy was telling me the truth. You know, this stuff is real. But the phone rings, Sharon picks it up. There's trouble at the house, her parents' house. They race over there. They see Jack being taken to the ambulance. They then see that Bernie has been shot dead. Jack's like, they kept asking her about Captain America, and she wouldn't talk. So there's some loyalty from Bernie. Sam is also been shot. He was there first. He gets there first, but just seconds before the bad guys. He's shot, gives Captain his Captain Midnight medal, and tells him to give it to his buddy, the president, when he can, goes into cardiac arrest, and he dies right then and there. So no more Sam. Very sad. But there's not too much time to mourn, because we're at the hospital to visit Jack, our Sharon and Cap, and they see the news report that the president has been abducted in Rome, Chad Cruz.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big report. Lots happened in the last 5 minutes. Yeah,
interrupts the Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, damn right. That show's still on. Can you believe that shit? I mean,
happy retirement, Pat Sajak.
Pat Sajak is hilarious, by the way. If you've never listened to him, you should check him out when he's like a guest on some random podcast. He's so funny. But
maybe we could get him on this show.
Is he on Ryan Seacrest? Oh, they're going to get. Are they getting Ryan Seacrest?
Yeah, Ryan Seacrest will be taking over Wheel of Fortune.
Good for him. He'll be good for the next 30 years, probably, in it. But yeah, a lot of shit's happened, right? Everybody's shot. Bernie's dead. Jack's shot, but not somehow Jack lives. That's kind of fucked up, right? And then Sam's dead. So you're like, oh my God. And then, oh shit, now the president's been abducted. So now, of course, Cap is like, I have to go do this. Not only am I propelled by, you know, just the idea of like me being this heroic figure for the country that I love. But I'm also, I want some vengeance on these assholes for killing my gal.
Yeah.
So now him and Sharon need to find out everything they can about the Red Skull. And she's like, well, did the doctor, whatever her name was, have a diary? He's like, shit, damn right she did. He learned that the VHS tape.
Yeah. So they go back to that diner, which has been remodeled since Cap was there, but he don't care. He goes right into the ladies' room, punches through the wall, finds the secret passage to get downstairs to the lab, and he does find the diary. But we've got the bad guys there, and for a moment, at least, they get Sharon. It's not looking good, but even it wasn't his real shield, Ryan Campbell. Old Cap finds a makeshift shield and starts kicking some ass.
That's right. He uses like the lid of like some industrial equipment. As long as it's circle shaped, he's good to go. But he that definitely helps get around the issue of not having a shield that we don't see for a while here. But this is kind of what we were talking about, where I just felt like the movie really just grinds to a halt as all this leading up to from here to the finale. Cap does manage to get one guy limited down there where he interrogates him, finds out where the Red Skull is, but the guy has no idea. He's just getting orders from, the daughter. So that's kind of a dead end there, and they have to move on to the next, go back to the drawing boards, if you will.
Indeed, Ron Mathis. All right, so we've got, I want to say this about the makeshift shield, because Chad Cruz, if there's any child out there or anybody who was a child growing up with these comic books that did not use a garbage can lid as their Captain America shield, are you even a kid? Ever a kid? I mean, no, I don't think you were.
I will still do that to this day. Any circular object, you pick it up and shield size, you're like, okay, this could make great shield.
Yeah.
So
it's what you do. It's natural.
Just like any tube shaped item becomes a lightsaber.
Right.
That's true.
All right. Well, as Ryan said, they're going to have to go back to the drawing boards. What? Oh, yeah. The diary, though, has some information. It's got Red Skull's name. Or didn't have his name, but it has his hometown and a description of the home he was abducted from. A house with three angels. Not to be confused with one of my favorite Godfather characters of all time, Frankie Five Angels, Frank Pentangeli. This is just three. So this is two less than Frankie. Red Skull has the president. We've covered that in the news report. But he has to, the process, you can't just jam a frickin' brain implant in a person. There's things you have to give him, and the process will take 24 hours before he's ready for his brain implant. But they have removed his tracker that was in his tooth.
What's the flight time from California to Italy, by the way? Anybody know?
I don't know.
It's pretty damn long.
I would imagine it's pretty long.
Yeah.
It's very long.
D DC to Italy, probably not so bad, but
I just looked it up. It's 150 hours.
Look at you.
I made that up.
Oh, I thought you were on Travelocity.
No, are you kidding me? No, I didn't look that up.
That's right. You don't do any work. Go on.
Brain, do you believe the 150 hours? What are you, a fucking bird?
I don't know what. I just was happy you said something.
He barely leaves Cleveland.
But yeah, it would have taken a long time, right? So they've only got 24 hours for this process to kind of take effect. So it's gonna take them. They don't have a whole lot of time. There's a lot of time crunches in this movie.
Yeah.
And they're wasting a lot of time by going around asking people his fucking name. Who cares? Go whoop this guy's ass. You know, he's a giant fortress. Go to the giant. Hey, do you know where this red face guy is?
Yeah.
You ever heard of the Red Skull? We don't talk about him. Oh, we don't talk about him? Where the fuck does he live at? Because let's go whoop his ass.
Yeah, that'd be good.
If they don't know, just punch the shit out of him until they give you information. You're Captain America.
Damn right.
Again, we talked about how he's a good person and wouldn't do something like that. Mm.
Sharon would do it. She's not afraid.
She would. She's good.
She's pissed. They killed her mom.
A few black guys to save literally thousands of people.
Yeah. So Captain America, he goes to this, but he does that gimmick where he tries to ditch Sharon with his car sick bullshit. Meanwhile, Tom has gotten a hold of some acid. I missed where he got that from, but he's trying to escape from his cell. Cap gets to the Three Angel house, but he can't speak Italian.
Oh, man.
And the new owners can't speak English, so this is not going to go very well, but good for him. Bullheaded Sharon just got a cab and followed Cap, and she could speak Italian. The new owners kept a box of stuff that was left there by the old owners, which included a tape recorder that happened to be running the night. We did see that at the beginning. So they hear the Red Skull's abduction from the start of the movie. That will come into play later when they make a copy of that. And now Sharon and Cap, to your point, Ryan, they're just kind of like, let's just sit at this cafe. You need to eat.
It's good coffee there, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they're just kind of figuring out what they're going to do next. But the bad guys show up, nearly shoot him, nearly run him over. And then a bicycle becomes the getaway vehicle, Chad Cruz. I thought that was interesting.
It's a good little bicycle chase. You know, the movie has, it's not a super action-packed film. It kind of goes around, you ask them questions. They go to they're like, do you know anybody who fixes old radios? And then a guy just turns it on and it works. Like, dude, you said you had one of these when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Idiot. So, they're kind of like wasting a bunch of time. So every once in a while we get an action scene. You're like, oh, finally, about damn time. So the action scene's not super exciting because he's on a bicycle. But we do get, there's some dudes on motorbikes and some more shield action. For me, I'm like, just put the damn suit on. That's what I want to see.
Right.
Punch a damn Nazi.
Right.
Yeah, for as quick as they got him into the thing, they didn't get him back into the thing forever.
Right.
Right. So they double back, go to the cafe. They see that Valentina dropped her purse. And now they get the name. They get the address. And Sharon's like, but of course, they still got the bad guys on their trail. So Sharon's like, all right, you go do what you got to do. I'll drive away and they'll follow me. But that doesn't quite work out. It seems like a good idea. But
Did Valentina have her... like driver's license with her Fortress Lorenzo address.
Exactly.
Well, she's sweet.
You wouldn't if you lived in the fortress.
Maybe she has a business card.
Yeah, she might. So she just ends up, Sharon becomes prisoner number two at the fort.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, prisoner number one, the president himself, he's going to be ready in about 20 minutes for that implant. So he better work on this acid that he has to burn through the bars. And it works. He weakens him up. He's able to get himself out of there. So the guards go though to get him like, oh, it's almost time to make the fajitas or whatever they're doing with him. And, he's gone. We're going to be in trouble. He could have been in worse trouble, but Red Skull kind of needs him alive, so they're not going to kill him, which is good for him, but he's like, you know what? He sacrifices himself, Chad. Takes this big leap. He doesn't know what's going to happen, but boy, does something happen for him.
Yeah, it sure does. He jumps from the walls of this fortress down to certain death below, the stony, the sharp edged rocks, potentially some water down there. I don't know what's down there, but he jumps off knowing that he's a dead man.
Perhaps the Mediterranean Sea.
Potentially, yes. Lovely sea, by the way. He also knows that by jumping, that Red Skull won't get what he needs, and he needs him alive. So Tom makes the ultimate sacrifice and he jumps. But guess what? Captain America is there and he catches his ass. And unlike last time he grabbed someone's hand, this time he's not going to let someone cut it off.
Right.
He pulls him up and he saves his life. And it's like, oh, fantastic. What an amazing scene. And I will say this, Brain. So I mentioned this to you offline here that I watched this movie with my son, who's about to turn 9. And he's never seen a comic book movie ever.
Wow.
And I know. And so do you know what's next, by the way?
Superman.
Superman.
Across the Spider-Verse.
No, Superman. So.
Thank God.
We watched this together. And when this scene happened, I paused it and I said, you know what just happened? And he's like, oh, he jumped off. And I was like, why did he jump off? He's like, because he knew Captain America was down there and he would catch him. And I go, but did he know he was down there?
Dumb bastard.
And he was like, oh, I don't know. I just assumed he knew he was there. That's why he jumped. I go, no, he jumped off because he was killing himself to stay away from the Red Skull. So he didn't get what he wanted.
Could not become a weapon, like, right?
Oh my goodness. Like that's incredible. And I was like, it is incredible. And then I hit play again.
Well, I cannot wait for the
good moment talking about suicide.
The recap of his first time. I'm envious that it's going to be his first time to watch Superman.
Oh, it's going to be good. I'm excited for it.
That's something special right there. So yeah, it worked out for old the Prez as he was going down. Cap was coming up. And just the other thing is like, this is somebody he saw when he was a young kid, and like we get a gee whiz out of Captain America, which kind of dates him a bit, but that makes sense. Cap gives Tom the medal that Sam gave him, the Captain Midnight medal, tells him to go, hey, go get out of get to safety. But again, Tom Randall's showing he's got balls of steel, Chad Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
He's all in. He does call NATO command for some help, but he's not running away. He's going to stay and help Captain America. And wouldn't you know who he runs into at the fort, but that no good bastard, General Fleming.
Wouldn't you know who won the pony?
Exactly. Thank you, Corny. And he knocks out General Fleming That's kind of elder abuse, I think, at this point, but it's all right. He deserved it.
Doesn't count when they're Nazis or Nazi sympathizers.
Exactly. So we get the rematch now, Chad Cruz. It's Cap versus Red Skull, but things are a bit different this time.
Are a bit different this time. I guess Cap's fighting for something a little more than he was before.
This time it's personal.
Ah, oh, shit. God damn it. Go back, rewind that.
Okay.
This time, it's personal.
Ooh. Good point, Chad.
Yeah. But yeah, they're fighting each other, punching, punch, kick, punch, kick, punch, punch. There's a punch there. I think someone punches another person.
There's punches everywhere.
Eventually.
So the last few minutes of this film have more edits in it than most other films entirely. It's insane. And every time I would make a note about it, then there would just be more. Like I almost had a seizure watching all the edits in the end of this movie.
It is, these action sequences aren't done by masters of action. I've never seen Matt Salinger on a list of greatest action heroes of all time, or actors of all time. And there's a reason for that. You know, they do their best. Albert Pune is also a man who, he's got some really cool action sequences in some movies. And then he's got other movies that are the most despicable pieces of shit that I've ever seen. And
Rest in peace, Albert.
Yes, rest in peace. but there could have been a great scene here, but instead we kind of get like this back and forth between Cap and Skull, and then we get Sharon and Valentia. That's probably a better fight scene sequence, to be honest. And then eventually Skull grabs a submachine gun, and Cap gets a shield, and then it's like, you know, I'm excited again, right? Because my favorite thing about the whole Captain America character and the shield is his kind of protective, not a weapon, but like it's his accessory, is the different ways that he can use it. He can throw it, he can hit somebody with it, he can fucking duck behind it, he can do the little roll on the ground behind it. I love all that stuff. And at the end of the movie, he finally kind of uses it, and it's great to see.
Yeah, we find out Skull has a detonator to a bomb that could destroy all of Southern Europe and kill 70 million people. Is that a
there? We go. That's more like
that. Is that a better number for you, Ryan?
That's a better. That's what I want to hear. It's also hidden on a piano, which is just explicitly like, or just for whatever reason, on, you know, the overlook of this beautiful landscape. So, yeah.
What? Okay, I'll ask this in a minute. Go ahead.
So yeah, Cap then uses. I guess he's playing some mind games with Red Skull because he has that tape from the night Skull was kidnapped. He plays it, calls him by his name. And it just, yeah, this whole ending was, I don't know.
My guess is the budget was gone at this point. I think that amount of editing and cuts tells me they didn't have a lot of shots to work with. So they were just trying to create action by throwing in edits and everything else that's going on. There's very few people in these final scenes. So my guess would say is they literally shot this like on someone's vacation in Italy and just try to get something done.
And this could have been part of the reshoots. I don't know, but you know, you get the, you know, he wings the shield, takes Skull over the edge, seemingly dying. I don't know why the thing didn't blow up. Does anyone know what didn't blow up?
That's what I was confused.
They made a point of showing it getting flung from his body, though. Like if you watch when he's falling and whatever they mannequin or whatever they did to get that scene, you see something go flying really off to the right.
I heard they used a guy with polio to do that.
There you go. It saved money that way. They paid his family $20, something like that. But you see it go flying. So I guess let's say what crashed on the rocks and before it finally went.
Okay. In my mind, I was like, you know, if I let go of this detonator, this thing, you know what I mean? Like, so then.
And aren't those bombs still there? I mean, wherever.
You would think that. Planted.
So it was definitely a unique detonator with like the weird half circle quarter things that would come up on it. I've never seen a detonator like that.
It was Italian.
There you go. Yeah, that makes sense.
But then Valentina's like, you son of a bitch. She grabs a gun and he's like, heads up. Because it's funny, because she doesn't duck.
Was she decapitated?
It went like this. So whatever that noise means.
They kind of like do the quick zoom on her head, and then we never see her body again. Like, I'm going to say that shield just chopped her head off.
Yeah, and then we just quickly find out that the environmental treaty was signed, and it's the end. Credits. Yeah. Goodbye.
Would have been great if Cap had picked his shield up. And he's like, oh, gross. And it's just covered in blood.
Yeah.
It's like shit it's hanging like from
matter on it and everything. Oh,
nasty. Yeah.
All right. Ryan Campbell, your final thoughts. I imagine this was your first time watching this iteration of Captain
America. It was, yeah. And honestly, the first like 15, 20 minutes, I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, oh, this has actually got some cool stuff in it. I liked even some little moments. I don't know if it was done intentionally or not, but like, the first shot of Steve Rogers, we panned from the street into like his humble home, you know, in the 40s through the window. And the last shot in Endgame, the last time we see Steve Rogers, we pan in from the street into the window where he's dancing with Peggy. So like, and there was like, I don't know if that was intentional again, but like I really liked it. And I thought like the opening, and I didn't expect it to be as, you know, to see, you know, families getting gunned down and all these other things happening. So I was like, oh man, they're really going for it. Like they're really trying. And, you know, typically when you think of hero movies in the 90s, they're just constant cheese. And then the middle just grinded to a halt. And by the end, and then we're talking about the ending and how just kind of hastily thrown together it was. So like they had me in the first you know, 30, 40 minutes. I was on it, like, the, you know, I was rating it higher than what I expected going in. And then it was a slog to get through the back, you know, second half to two quarters of the film.
Chad Cruz.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen this movie, a bunch of times, dozens of times probably. And it goes back with me to when I was a kid, and they didn't make comic book movies every 16 days. And, you know, every movie wasn't a 45 film, you know, trilogy of 17 trilogies. And you got like fucking 17 series about a guy, you know, his origin. I'm just like, I've got superhero fatigue. But I will watch 1990 Captain America anytime you ask me to, Brain, because to me, it's got a lot of heart to it. It doesn't have flashy CGI. It doesn't have great action sequences, but, you know, in 1990, they weren't that bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's only because I watched so many great things now that I'm like, oh, maybe they weren't as good as I thought. But back, you know, when I was a kid, I can remember enjoying the action sequences. My biggest hit on this movie has always been, he doesn't spend enough time in the suit. Like,
yeah,
put the damn suit on, please. And certainly the middle, it does feel like it slows down like way too much. Like, oh, we've got to go to this place now. We have to see if we can get information. Now let's go to this place, see if we can get some information. Like, there are plenty of moments where they could have, if you're going to make cuts there. And then, you know, give me another dozen guys at the Red Skull's fortress for him to beat the shit out of, because that's what I want to see. I want to see Captain America come in there, use his shield to beat the crap out of people, and then save the day. So I love Ronnie Cox as the president. I think he's fantastic. He has gone on record saying this is the greatest script he's ever read. Mm-hmm. And he has no idea how they screwed the movie up that bad. So yeah, it's incredible.
Lack of cash, Ronnie.
Yeah. So I do love the movie, but I'm also very biased towards it.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely on this rewatch. What I took, like, he is not Captain America for that long in the movie, which is strange. Come on, Menachem. But, you know, and I guess that may have been another clue that this one, if it had the full budget, I feel like Menachem would have directed it himself, because that was classic Menachem. When it was something big, he would have been more hands-on with it. It would have been as long as it needed to be.
Yeah, Delta Force.
Yeah, like the Delta Force. You know, so I kind of almost wish we would have got that, but, you know, Albert Pune was known for a guy who could do a movie and get it done, no matter what. You could say, here's $18, can you make the movie? Yes.
In Here's 5 days.
$1 million, can you make? Yeah. Whatever price you gave him, he would have said, yes, I can make this happen for you. And that's, you know, what kept him getting steady work for quite a long time. So there you have it. What a way to celebrate the 4th of July than with Captain America here on the Bulletproof Podcast. Let's talk a little bit before we go about bulletproofaction.com. Talk about a 4th of July celebration. I have worked for hours on a post that will be up, depending on when you're listening to it, may already be up. I call it the United States of Action, and it is an action movie for every state of the Union, Chad Cruz.
Beautiful.
Plus Washington, D.C. So check that out. I'm sure there will be, and again, I only picked one, everyone, and I may not have picked the one you would have picked, but that's kind of the point. You may be like, yeah, oh, I would have picked this for New York. I would have picked this for Illinois. Yeah, some states had so many options, I didn't know what to do. Others, I was researching and looking and asking people and talk like, oh, it's been a lot of work, but I think it came out great, and I hope a lot of people like it. And I hope,
yes, please go. I don't know how many texts I got of how hard he was working on this thing. So please go check it out. If nothing else, then to validate
just,
all the work.
Yeah, just put into this. Just humor me. Just humor Brain, me. It's a long post. It's a long ass post. I'll tell you that. Take a real big shit, you want to read this one. Yeah.
Was this an original idea of yours?
Well, I had seen it, like horror movies.
Okay.
had done it. And I'm like, you know what? Why doesn't he? And I thought, you know, saw that years ago. And every year I'm always like, I should do that for action movies. Right. But then I would start thinking of weird states. And I'm like, oh, they ain't got nothing. Never mind. But right. I don't know. Something just clicked this past like year where I'm like, I think I could pull this off. Even if I miss one or two, I'll just call them out for being bastards who don't have action movies. But I did it. I found 50.
You know how I love to start posts and never finish them, right?
Exactly.
So I started writing notes down on paper. I'll see if I can find them. Like 5-6 years ago, I wasn't as clever enough to call it this, but I was writing down my favorite action movie from each state.
All right.
I will see if I can find it. I probably gave up after I like found Wyoming and I'm like, I don't know, you know.
Wyoming was when I found, oh, that was a
probably
that
some
was
good westerns.
But it's one you've covered. So I won't give it away here. You want to check it out. Check it out, everybody. United States of Action. Also, I'm going to do a little Shaw Brothers, The Kid with the Golden Arm. I've never seen that one, but I hear great things about it. So I'm going to delve into my Shaw Brothers collection and check that out. Ryan Campbell, I know you're going to be continuing your Secret Invasion coverage.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a pleasant surprise. Kind of one I forgot about. I know Chad was mentioning superhero fatigue and like, is anyone going to watch this series? But it's stuff different with the whole spy thriller aspect to be entertaining. So yeah, definitely check out the coverage there.
And I will.
I'm still campaigning to do Barbie later this month.
No Barbie will be on our site. But we will have more Warrior. I'm so happy Warrior is back. Hopefully they're not dropping 3 episodes a week because that's been a lot. But hopefully if we go to 1 a week, we'll be good. Very excited to have that back. I understand there's some kind of big surprise they have mid-season that involves Enter the Dragon, and I have to imagine that could be Bolo Young, because who the hell else is left that could be a part of that? So we'll see. I'm very excited. Of course, that is the reason for that is it was based on a story that Bruce Lee had written. So Warrior is back and I will be covering that. Chad, do you know anything you're going to be doing? I know you have some things in the works.
I do have a few things. You know, I've been away for a few weeks. I had another child, added another little baby to the family and, moved into a new house. I've been kind of busy. But recently I've been kind of crushing all these foreign films that have been on my list for some time that I've never actually watched. So you'll see some new, some foreign film content coming from me here soon. And, I've got this, first time watch for a Jet Li film that I've been, dying to see.
We've heard about that for months now.
So, you'll probably get that here maybe before this drops. I'm not sure, but, so be on the lookout for that too.
Yeah. Chad Cruz, you could do a list of movies, from every country. Action movies from every country. Why don't you start working on that?
That seems like a lot of work, Brain.
Yes, it does. so you'll never see that, everybody. Nope. Yeah, so there's that. Anything else? Oh, I probably should plug the fact that if you want to hear me do some wrestling commentary, you could do so on the Premier Streaming Network. With my boss, Freddie Prinze Jr. He's the owner. He's part owner, you know, Chad.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
So, yeah, he is. He invested in that because he is a big wrestling fan. But yeah, Rufflin Feathers from Spot Monkey Promotions. I did the commentary for that, and I should be doing some more commentary gigs for them in the future. So you can definitely, I'm sure I'll mention it here on the show and on my Twitter as well. But next time, in case you still want to hear more of me, I will be here. Chad, we promised them a Blind Fury podcast.
Yes.
And I think we got to make good on that promise on our next episode. What do you
say? I think we deliver it super hard.
Okay. Super hard indeed. That's what we're all about here on the Bulletproof Podcast. So glad to have Chad Cruz back. And of course, Ryan Campbell, always love when you stop in, and especially when we can, broaden your movie knowledge and get you to watch something that you have not seen before.
Yes, I always appreciate it. I'm always happy to come on here and talk shop with you guys.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure we'll have you back again sometime soon. And I hope everybody out there, if you're celebrating the 4th of July, that it's a safe one. Don't blow yourself up. Don't blow any finger. Don't end up like Red Skull. Right, Chad Cruz?
That's right. Stay away from super soldier serums that have only been tested on rats.
But have plenty of red meat if that's your thing.
Yes.
You know, yeah. That's certainly something I'm looking forward to. And yeah, we'll be back with Blind Fury. So thanks everybody for listening. And as always, stay tuned for more of the Bulletproof Podcast.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.